Time to talk some football as we welcome back to the program Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich. How are you, my friend?
I am doing very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day, lots of chatty guys in the New England locker room. It was good stuff. It's been a good day.
I like that a lot. And are you ready to turn the page and move on to regular season football?
Yeah, I am. It's always a treat to be able to get to training camp and see the workouts for an extended period of time and really kind of get a sense for, you know, where this team is. But at the same time, yeah, it feels like, you know, it's ready for the real thing sooner rather than later. And hopefully we'll see at least a little taste of that come Friday, the third preseason game. Obviously, everyone knows it's the dress rehearsal. It's the one where we're going to see the starters play the most. So it's the closest thing we're going to get to the real thing, at least between now and the start of the regular season.
And as you wrote at Boston Sports Journal, you're already seeing the team kind of turn that page and change to a more a focused approach to things.
Yeah, it really is. You know, the vibe, it's always a serious vibe around Gillette Stadium, but really at this time of year, things start to change a little bit. It starts to take on a greater sense of urgency. The energy starts to change, and you really start to kind of point toward the regular season. There are a handful of guys, as I wrote today, who are still kind of on the bubble, but most of the roster is set. But for those guys who are on the bubble, you know, there's a sense of, hey, we got to really step it up. We have to perform well in this game. We have to have a good week of practices if we want to guarantee our spot on the final 53. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But, yeah, ultimately, to answer your question, things definitely change around the building at this time of year.
Last game, the big injury to Isaiah Wynn. What does that do for the team?
Yeah, that's tough. It really is, because he's a good kid who came in and he really worked hard. There's a couple of different things. First of all, there was no real guarantee at this point that he was going to be a starter. And so if you're the Patriots, you kind of say, well, you know, it's tough, but at the same time, we're going into the regular season with what we think are five pretty good offensive linemen. There are some questions about whether or not things might change up front between now and the start of the regular season. You know, Shaq Mason is going into his final year, and when you look at the guard market, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots at least thought about, you know, maybe dealing him. But I think now with no Win, you kind of lose that insurance policy that you might have if you decided to deal away Shaq Mason. So I don't think they're going to make any moves, but I think they're pretty well locked in. Look, if Marcus Cannon can play, Marcus Cannon is able to get out there and play on a consistent basis. I know he struggled with durability from time to time. You can get him out there. You have five pretty good offensive linemen, as well as you have a backup in Ladron Waddle, who you know who's really proven to be a pretty dependable swing tackle. So there are some possible moving parts, but I think ultimately, they suffered the injury in an area where they have pretty good depth, at least going into the regular season.
From your perspective, is the biggest area of concern depth at the wide receiver spot?
Yeah, it really is right now, because, you know, you feel good about, obviously, Rob Gronkowski and James White. And look, I'll be honest with you, when you have those two guys, they can paper over a lot of deficiencies when it comes to depth issues at wide receiver. But it feels like they are still one guy away, that they need one more body at that position. Now, I don't know if Eric Decker can emerge as a dependable presence. Maybe he's that guy. Maybe Kenny Britt can get on the field and be that guy. Maybe they need to make one of those, you know, Labor Day weekend trades where they bring in someone like they brought in Philip Dorsett last year. Maybe Dorsett is able to emerge as a consistent go-to threat. But over those first four games, like I said, it just feels like they're still a little bit thin. Obviously, things are going to change when Edelman comes back in week five. But right out of the gate, it's going to be interesting to see how they piece it all together.
Eric Decker continues to have problems with drops. Has he secured a roster spot yet?
That's a great question. I don't think so. Not at this point. Obviously, look, Rich, if he comes out on Friday and catches five balls on five targets and just has a great night, a lot of this narrative goes away. But I think until he is able to do that, I think there are some questions that remain. The interesting thing is the drops are not new for him. And I wrote about this over at Boston Sports Journal. This is a guy who's been plagued by drops over the last few years. This has been an ongoing thing with him. So, look, if he cleans it up between now and the start of the regular season, he's going to be one of those guys. If he does not, there is still going to be that black cloud, that uncertainty hanging over his head between now and the start of the regular season. So I guess ultimately, to answer your question right now, no, but things can change pretty dramatically this week.
We're talking with Christopher Price here on Downtown. We got the Sony Michel injury. Rex Burkhead continues to be a frustration, I have to assume, to the coaching staff. Good when he's able to get out there on the field. Do they have enough depth at that position?
They do. They do. I think that when you look at someone like James White, who, they're going to run him until his wheels fall off this year. They really are. I wrote this today. This franchise record for most catches by a running back in a season is, I think it's 77 by Tony Collins, which was set in 1986. I think he's going to come close to it. Look, obviously White is not a between-the-tackles guy, but you can kind of piece it together as they've done over the years, where you get a little bit from this guy and a little bit from this guy and a little bit from this guy. I really like Jeremy Hill. I think Jeremy Hill is going to be one of those guys who is going to have a sizable role, has a chance to have a sizable role in this offense this year. And if you pair Hill with, you know, maybe Gillislee comes back until Burkhead is able to go, and you can get some games out of Burkhead, you can get some stuff out of James White, you can maybe get a little bit of a contribution from Ralph Webb, who played so well in the first preseason game. You can patch that backfield together. If there's one thing we know about the Patriots when it comes to a team-building perspective, they cycle through those running backs like nobody's business. I think they've had something along the lines of 7 different guys lead the team in rushing over the last, like, 11 years. So it's at least on paper right now, it doesn't look great, but I think they'll figure it out when it comes to the running back position.
From what I've seen so far, the acquisition of Adrian Claiborne looks to me like a really strong pickup for them.
Yeah, he really is. He every single year, not every single year, but a lot of years, Bill loves to go out and get those veteran defensive linemen. And sometimes it works with Andre Carter and, you know, Ted Washington and those types, and Chris Long. And sometimes it doesn't work with Albert Haynesworth. It looks like right now he is a guy who is just hitting every single, you know, target that they put in front of him. He's a guy who has shown up and has been really good when it comes to getting after the passer, has shown to be a really good complementary piece along that defensive line, and I think that's a really important part, learning how to play alongside some guys, their strengths and weaknesses. He is a guy for me who right now is trending in the right direction, and if you're able to put him out there with guys like Dietrich Wise and Trey Flowers, I think you're going to see an improved, not a great Patriots pass rush, but a Patriots pass rush that was improved when you compare it to 2017.
I saw from the chat you did yesterday for Boston Sports Journal, you're pretty high on Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, I am. He's not going to be a guy who is a centerpiece of the passing game, but I think that they have some stuff planned for him as a quote-unquote gadget guy to get him the ball in space, like we saw in that second preseason game where they just kind of flipped it out to him and just kind of had to make a move. We're going to see some of that. The other thing, too, and I really can't stress this enough, Rich, he is a really impressive kick returner. He's one of the best in the league. I think one of the reasons why we haven't seen, one of the reasons why we haven't seen him do a lot of kick return work this preseason is because they're holding him back a little bit, because I think that they want to kind of spring him on the league. My over-under, I did an over-under today on special teams touchdowns, and I put the line at 1.5, and I said they're going to go over because Patterson really, I think, has a chance to have a special year as part of this Patriots, not just the offense, but the special teams group.
I enjoyed reading about the over-unders very much. I want to highlight a couple of them here. Trey Flowers, you set an over-under at 9.5 sacks.
Yeah, he's going to hit double-digit sacks this year. He has. I don't know if I'm being relentlessly optimistic here, given his recent, health issues, but this is a guy who certainly looks very, very impressive coming into the season, has every reason to have a great season because it is his contract year. This is a young man who I think is going to hit double-digit sacks for the first time in his career.
And you set the over-under for Brady's backups snaps at 20.5, 23 for Brian Hoyer last year. You're saying over. Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not saying that he's going to have, you know, take any significant snaps, but we're going to see a lot of kneel downs. I think Garoppolo had 69, I believe it was in 2015, if I remember correctly, or 2014, I think it was. So So there's a chance that, you know, you might get into a few blowouts and you have him run around and throw a few passes. So I'm going to take the over when it comes to the 20 and a half for Brady's backups and their snaps over the course of the season.
Read Christopher's entire column at bostonsportsjournal.com. It is the best money you'll ever spend to find out about what's going on the Boston sports scene. Chris, as always, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon, and we'll catch you again very soon.
I appreciate it, Rich. Take care, and we'll talk soon.